Amen. Thanks for filling in. For most of you that have been here or that talk to me or follow me on Facebook or anything, you'll know that this past 2 weeks ago, not this past week, but 2 weeks ago, I was actually at Hillsong Conference, and I shared a little bit about that last week. And what I'm going to talk about today largely comes out of that as well. There is just so much to unpack from there, but as I was sitting and trying to scribble as fast as my little hand and pen and heart and ears and head could take me, it was just so speaking to everything of mine, as God does, and in amongst 32,000 plus people, you can each of us could walk away with something completely different from that time. And that is the beauty of our God, who is a living God, who is a God that loves to and delights to dwell amongst his people, no matter how many or how few. He loves to dwell amongst his people. And this past week, especially at work, it's been hectic. I came back and I knew anybody that does any form of work, even if you're a mum at home, you would know that when you go away, there is a mountain of work to do when you get home, whether it's, you know, at home or whether it's at a workplace. There is always a mountain of work to do, because people seem to do the bare minimum because they've got their own tasks to do, but there seems to be the bare minimum done. And so I knew that was going to be the case, and that's not me having a go at the people who I work with. It's just I knew that that was the case whenever you take work off. But I also went back to the fact that one of the other girls that I fill in for when she has leave, we overlapped, and she's been away this whole past week. She was away 2 days beforehand. So I actually came back to a Monday where I was actually being abused by solicitors from the other side, because the solicitor who I was filling in for this girl doesn't work Fridays. And so they're ringing me asking me where these contracts are. The sales advices were sent Friday, you know, and they were actually quite all right. And I was just sitting there going, huh? Don't you know where I've just been? Like, and how can this be happening? But I graciously just went, look, really sorry about that. Been away. Amanda's been away. You know, Harvey doesn't work Fridays. You're in the list, but I'm just going through everything. You are. I can guarantee you, you're here, and I'll get it out to you by this afternoon. Okay, have a great day. Hung up, you know, kind of thing. And I was having that a lot. And then, as you do when you have time off, people are asking, how was it? And of course, you can never really explain, I feel, to a non-Christian especially, but you can never fully explain to them the atmosphere and the impact that a week at a conference or a couple of days at a conference or a missions trip or something that's you've been surrounded by God's atmosphere and God's praise and everything about God, you can never fully appreciate and put that and articulate that and put that into words and say, this is what it was. So I find myself a lot of the time saying, yeah, it was just great, and sharing about how there were so many people there and things like that. But this time round, it was actually a bit different for me, because I was... people had actually seen it on TV, because apparently it made the news every night out here anyway, that the fact that there was these 32,000+ people at an arena. Of course, Biebs helped with that. A lot of people are like, did you see Biebs? And I messaged Mick actually on the Monday, and I said, if one more person asks me if I saw Biebs, I think I might just have to godly punch them in the face and bless them with God's blessing, because it's not about Biebs. And he messaged back, he goes... he said, I tell people that we're hanging out all week, and you know, like, you know, Mick. And I just thought, you know what, that's such a better attitude to have. But anyway, I thought, you know, if they're asking me if I saw Biebs, it gives me an inroad into being able to share about what God had been doing down there. And so I actually did tell some, I told some people we actually sat opposite the arena from him, which we did one night. I could actually see him. And they're like, oh, so did you get to meet him? I'm like, no, but I don't really care about meeting Biebs. I'd rather meet Carl Lentz and Chad Veach and Judah Smith, who are the guys who are the pastors that hang out with them. But the thing that really got me about that, and then I'll move on from talking about Biebs, was I was actually talking to a few of my older staff as well about him. And I actually said, he actually was, one of the pastors was contacted by his mother before he became famous, because she just knew that her son was getting into those formative years and needed some great people around him. And she just really was part of Judah's church, loved what he was doing, and he really impacts the youth. And so she just wanted some godly men around him. And so Judah was like, yeah, sure, hung out with him. Then he made it big. And so he pulled in Carl Lentz and a couple of others as his buddies. And they just looked at me and went, ah, oh, so you mean he's been like this for a while? It's not just a new thing, you know? It's not just a advertising grab. And we're like, no. And they're like, does he perform? And I'm like, no, he's never once performed at conference. He goes to Young and Free and he mucks around with the kids, but it's not about him coming and performing. I said, he actually pays his own way and he comes all the way around the world, like many do. We sat next to some Argentinians that come for just conference, just to be in that atmosphere. And they just looked at me and went, that must be a pretty good atmosphere then if people do that. I'm like, it so is, you know. Like, I thought they're slowly getting it, and I don't articulate it well sometimes, but I thought, you know what? It's about just doing life with people, and it's about coming back and being God's hands and feet into the world. And it's about just taking those little opportunities, especially the ones that we do life regularly with. It's not about necessarily jamming it down their throats, but it's about taking those little opportunities to talk more about it. And so as I've been sort of thinking about conference and sort of talking about different things with different ones this week, today I just thought I would take a couple of the thoughts from a few of the key speakers, so from like Jensen, from Craig Groeschel, Beth Moore, Bobby even was an amazing... Bobby's, I say that shockingly, Bobby always has such amazing things to say, but such key and crucial things that I think speak into each and every one of our lives. And for me, it's... Well, for the church, it's a new season. We've known that. We've been talking about that. But for me, as I went off to conference, there's a lot of things that I have my hand at working in the community and around, that there are new seasons coming, that there are changes happening, that there are just... I'm having to lead in certain ways. And I just was really feeling kind of... Not torn, but I just felt like I had so many balls up in the air that I have to try and keep up in the air, that it wasn't like something was going to give, but I just was struggling with how do I lead exceptionally, I guess you can say. How do I lead that in a godly way, and how he has called us to, and so that I don't miss him in any of it, because that's the key, to doing life. You never want to miss him. You know, he's gracious enough that he'll come back around and say, hey, you kind of missed that left-hand turn back there. How about we take this one? But you never want to miss it at the time that he gives it to you, because it's the anointed time for that, for a time such as this. You know, if you're around me enough, you'll hear me pray that, you know, that every word, that every song, that everything that we do is for such a time as this. We're placed in a place for such a time as this. And so it was an amazing conference, and it started with Jensen speaking about being on your tiptoes in expectation. And it blew my mind. And it's not by chance that the words are given to the preachers by God. You know they're going to open it, and so they ask God for a word, and God plants the words in the right order, in the right sequence, so that we can gain the most out. And it wasn't by chance that Jensen started conference with to be on your toes in expectation. And so he read from Luke 3, verses 15 and 16 in the New King James Version. And it says, "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, 'I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.' He then said in the New England Version, it says they were on their tiptoes in expectation. And that kind of sparked something in my heart. I thought, you know, I've read that time and time again. And like most people, you probably focus on the fact that John's baptizing people and that's what we should do too. And, you know, they're going, are you the Messiah? And he's like, no, I'm so not. He's coming. And so in this passage, I focus on the fact that he's pointing everyone to Jesus. He's pointing to the Messiah, that he's coming, the ones that they've read about in the Old Testament, they've heard about from generation to generation to generation. But it wasn't until Jensen, who so eloquently always seems to unpack the amazing stuff that we just look over, well, I do anyway, you guys might not, you guys might be a bit more spiritual than me, but I tend to overlook a lot of the simple basic phrases, but Jensen Franklin can seem to unpack those in a way that just blows my mind, and I think, how did I miss that for all these years? And so this passage, I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about how he's talking about Jesus and how he's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, and that's coming, and, you know, in Acts, and, you know, that's how I've always read the passage. But it says, as I said, in the New England version, it says they were on their tiptoes in expectation. And I thought, God kind of planted that. And it's like, he needs us to be on our tiptoes in expectations for things. And I just thought, how many times are we so focused on what is before us, what's coming? Sometimes we can anticipate it and we know that it's coming. Other times we don't. But how many times do we get focused in the details and, you know, get focused on the end result as opposed to just standing in expectation? And Jensen's word was actually titled The Power of Expectation. And that's stopped me there. That's literally how he opened. And I was just stopped in my tracks and I just thought, oh, so many times I miss being on my tiptoes in expectation because I'm too far down the track. He then went on to say in Psalm 119, 126, it is time for you to act, O Lord. And I thought, yep, God, gotcha. Yep, this is going to be one of those weeks, isn't it, God? Is what I actually stopped and sort of said to him. And I went, okay, I get it. It's not about me. There's only so much I can bring to the table. There's only so much I can do, which turned out to be a lot of the theme of the week is about how God works in miraculous ways and in amazing ways, but as humans, he loves to have us work in those things as well. And so we have to bring our earthly and our own humanly works, but then we have to stand there and say, okay, God, time for you to do your work. And it's not about us doing it on our own as we're leading up to that. God's already working in that with us, but it's about knowing that he has to bring that final element in. And so I thought, okay, God, I get you. I've done what I can. I'm positioned where I need to be positioned. I'm here and thinking about everything back home and I'm like, okay, I've done what I can. It's time for you to work, which I felt a little bit, not rude and arrogant, but a bit like that coming to God and going, okay, you do your work then, you know. But it wasn't the attitude that I was doing it with, but I heard the fact that it's time for you to act, O Lord. And I just thought, okay, I'll stand, I'll position myself and I'll stand here in expectation for whatever you're going to do, you know, thinking about the fact that we're having these guys move on and Joe's coming in and the church is just whatever the church is going to look like in those times. You know, for me with Choice and where we're going with that, you know, we've been doing that for a few years. Me at work, me in the RFS, just different things that I do. I think, okay, God, I'm going to stand on my tiptoes in expectation because it's time for you to work. I've done what I can. I've brought it so far. I've done my earthly thing. It's now time for you to work. And it's not about us and what we can do in these situations. It is always God who acts. We are just the vessels he uses to work through. There is a lot of freedom that comes from knowing that the heavy lifting isn't on us. There's a lot of freedom that comes knowing that we can only do so much. And then we position ourselves exactly where God wants us. We stand on our tippy toes in expectation. We pray for that thing. We put it in God's hand and say, now you do the rest. There's a lot of freedom that comes in just knowing that God's got that covered. You know, God always said, you know, we're not called to do the hard yards and to build his church. He'll bring the people. We're just here to be his hands and his feet, his vessels to make that happen. And so the heavy lifting of trying to, you know, collar people and trying to get them saved and everything else, that's all on Jesus and God preparing their hearts beforehand. We've just got to be his church, his bride, and loving on those people for the rest to work. And so he said, actually, I don't know who said. We'll just keep going with it. Somebody said, God said to them to speak to us. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The devil isn't concerned with what you are, what you were, or who you are now, but who you are yet to be. I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes we focus, well, I can focus on kind of what I was, and I know that, you know, that I can, by different attacks that come against you, you can kind of think I must be shaking, you know, the enemy must be getting a bit scared with what I'm doing because these attacks are coming. But I think I forget about the person who you're going to be, and that's who the devil is most afraid of. the devil is most afraid of who you're going to be, which is why he attacks you at the time. And so when you're standing on your tiptoes in expectation and you know that God's got the work done, it's no wonder that the enemy goes, actually, don't care who you are, who you were, you know, 5 seconds ago, who you are now, but potentially who you're going to be scares me so much more, because you're going to be so much more effective. And so your greatest miracles and blessings, or your greatest whatever you're asking God for now, are not behind you. They are yet to come. Everything's about what's yet to come. You know, he's done some great things in our past, and he's doing some great things now. There's no denying that in the church right across the board. But the best years and the greatest miracles and the greatest works of God are yet to come, because as we boldly continue to take ground for him and boldly continue to step into what he's calling us as a church, us as an individual to do in whatever aspect and whatever arm we're in, the greatest miracles, the greatest signs and the greatest God works are yet to come, because the world can't deny the works of God. Like, people cannot deny it. You know, like if you get a miraculous healing and people are like, how'd that happen? Church prayed, or, you know, like, you know, we can play it down and go, oh, you know, we just got prayer. But the world can't deny the fact that you've just been healed, and they can't deny the presence that's in you, because the river of life is running through you and out. And so, you know, God's got everything. He's got your, as I said, your blank, whatever it is, he's got it. He just needs us on our tiptoes with expectation for our blessing, our miracles, our healings, our whatever it is. Whatever it is today is going to be different to whatever it is tomorrow, and it was definitely different to whatever it was yesterday, because we're forever needing to rely on him. And that's not a bad thing. You know, God calls us to lean in him, to press into him, to ask him for all things, because in him are all things. And so that's not a weakness. It's not a, oh, here I am asking God again. That's exactly what he's asked us to do. And so he just says, give me who you are and what you are. Get on your tiptoes, but not what we see in the natural. You know, let's not get on our tiptoes for knocking out that wall by what we see in the natural, church, but by what we see in the spiritual. And the knocking out of the wall and that has been seen in the spiritual. We've prayed for that. And God's timing is perfect. I mean, we would have loved to have had to have done that and expanded it out and, you know, just growing amazingly. But obviously God has a different path set out, and whatever that is to all glory to him, and it will happen in his perfect timing. And so sometimes life can be lame, and sometimes we can feel like life's lame and we're a bit lame and we're a bit injured, but it's not how we should run our spiritual race. If we're feeling a bit lame, let's get on our tiptoes in our spirit, because, you know, in the Bible it says that, you know, faith is not what we see, it's what is it? Faith is the hope of things not yet seen, not seen, but yet to come, or something. See, I know my Bible. I read it. you all know. But, you know, like, if we're called to see the things that aren't yet here, we're called to see them with God's eyes in that spiritual realm, and knowing that when God says he gives us something, he gives us that in his perfect timing. And so we need to be able to see past the lame in our lives and see into the blessing which is in the spirit. Acts 3, verses 1 to 10. It's a familiar passage to us. It's where Peter heals a lame beggar. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man was lame from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Again, it's a familiar passage that many people preach from. But the thing that I love about this passage is that this temple gate called Beautiful, by the world's eyes, every day sits a beggar, a lame man, someone who can't look after himself, someone who needs to take the pity of others to be able to survive, you know. And the world can cast us down, and the world can label us so many things. And in the world's eyes, we can be like that beggar. We can be lame in something. And, you know, the world this day and age is so cruel and harsh. And especially growing up as a kid and as a teenager in it, it can get pretty nasty and vicious these days and age. I used to think it was bad when I was growing up, but it's nothing compared to what carries on now in that generation. And so, you know, so often we can be called that beggar or that lame person, or, you know, there's so many other horrible and hurtful things that we've had spoken over us or we've heard. But the thing about this passage is that even though that there's no coincidence that he gets sat beside the gate called Beautiful, the temple gate, the temple doors called Beautiful, because in Christ all things are made beautiful. In Christ, he doesn't see that lameness. He doesn't see that beggar. He doesn't see that person who, you know, can't feed himself, you know, through without the pity of others. He sees the beautiful creation of a man that he created. And so, you know, the world will be casting down, and the world, you know, the enemy is in the world. He doesn't. One of the things that was said at conference that really struck me is that the enemy doesn't love people. The enemy doesn't love me. Like when I was a sinner, he doesn't love me. He doesn't, you know, go out of his way because he loves me and wants me to, you know, be with him. He just wants me in hell. Yeah, he does. He hates us. He just wants us in hell. He doesn't care about us. Where Jesus and God loves us so much, like God loved us so much that he sent his only son. He did that out of love. He did that out of wanting to be back into relationship with you and to have you in the right place, which is in his kingdom, in heaven. Not, you know, just because he wanted one less to be up there and one more down with him. And so the world's looking for this love, this belonging, this acceptance. And that's what this beggar was looking for as well. He was looking for, you know, obviously what he was known for, begging for money and trade and whatever it was to get through that next day. But subsequently, by calling out to these guys, there was something in him that knew that he wanted so much more. And that's what the world calls out for. The world calls out for so much more, and they don't know what they're calling out to. And when they call out to us, there's something in us that draws us. Now, we know that that's God. We know that that's Jesus in us, but they have no idea. And so, you know, they're really standing at those temple gates waiting for us to call them in, just like they did, you know, like, cast off whatever lameness you've got, because, you know, Jesus so does not see that. We so do not see that. God and Jesus heals all that. You know, the cross dealt with all of that. Cast it off. You know, get up, get out of your squalor, get out of your filth, get out of your dirt, whatever it is. Brush yourself off. Come on in. And when you bring them in, as I said before, the world can't help but notice when things are different. Like, these people were, hang on a minute, that was the beggar that we used to, you know, just throw stuff to. What's he doing in here? What happened? You know, like, there is miracles, signs and wonders that God does in people that just makes people stop and think, whoa, what has happened here? And so I had been at, as you know, I was at conference, and I'd found myself a few weeks before conference, actually. And even while I was at conference, I was speaking to Celeste Hutton. For those of you that have been in church long enough, I caught up with Lesty at her stand, because she works for 180TC now. And I found myself saying the same words that I said at Liz Cook's funeral and just to a few other people over the last month or so. And she's like, oh, so what's happening? And I'm like, yeah, nothing. Nothing's changed. And she's just like, she looks at me kind of thing. And I'd found myself over the last few months talking about how nothing has changed for me. I'm still in Oberon. I've travelled a bit. And yeah, still doing the church thing, you know, still working in Bathurst. Yep, still just living at home with my parents. Yep, you know, kind of thing. And I started getting a bit down on it as I started to think about, and I think it's also with these guys leaving and thinking about all the different people that have come in and out of church, I think, wow, God, all those people have moved on. Oh, they're doing that. That's really amazing. They're you know, living the dream, and they're you know, some of them married with kids and all that sort of stuff, and I'm really happy for them. But God, yep, still here. Thanks for that. And I'd found myself kind of a bit, feeling a bit deflated, really, to be honest, about how I kind of never second-guessed that this is where God got me, but sometimes I wonder why he's still got me here while everybody else is off doing wonderful, marvellous things, is what I think. And yes, for those that are sitting there going, you shouldn't compare yourself to anybody else because we all run our own race. I know that. I hear that. But sometimes you just don't really hear and listen and pay attention to it mainly. But I was standing at conference second night in, and the preach had happened. I forget who it was. It was a great word. I have notes, but I forget who actually preached and everything. And we're standing like up in the nosebleed section, which a lot of people don't like, but Mick and I actually love, because you really get that atmosphere of worship because it rises up to heaven and you're in it, and it's amazing to just watch all these people worshiping. And anyway, so we're there, and we're worshiping and different things, and then the preach came on, and then they do their usual sort of one song at the end, kind of, you know, finish, send you off, goodbye. And I thought, yeah, but this night, for some reason, they just kept playing, and it was mainly the United guys, and there was just such a sweet presence, really, of God there, that really just sort of became stronger and stronger, really. Like, the Spirit was there, it was working in people, and you could feel it. And we're actually singing, and the boys, I say the boys because back in my youth days, United was the boys. Hillsong United was my, when I was in youth, was the band, the youth band, and so they've continued on. And so as we've all got older, they're still living the dream and stuff. But they actually started singing some of the songs from when I was in youth. Like, so we're dialing back, you know, I don't really know, 15 odd years probably. And some of the songs just started to break away at my heart in terms of speaking into what I'd been speaking about, how I'm still just doing the same old, not really making any inroads, rah, 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 you know, not getting anything, not getting anywhere. And it was actually singing From the Inside Out, which is an amazing song, which if you've been in church long enough or around, you would have heard it. But it's just basically singing that my heart and my soul from the inside out will basically always love and serve him. And we were singing that, and that just, it was a God moment for me. In amongst all these thousands of people, it honestly felt like it was just me and God, and I had the CD playing kind of thing. Like, I was just really in that moment. And that God had said to me that my heart's cry is still the same that it was all those years ago, and it was that my heart and my soul would love you from the inside out. Didn't matter where you were going to call me, but my heart and my soul would love you from the inside out. And it goes on to say that my heart and my soul, I will give you control to love you from the inside out. And I felt God say to me, God said, you're still where you are because I say so. Some are sent forth and some are called to stay. And I kind of went, I know where this is going. And God goes, and I call you to stay. You're called to stay there, to be my present, and to be whatever it needs to be in the future. But, you know, some are called forth to go forth and to do whatever, but some are called to stay. So, and sometimes some are called to stay to do the hard, what feels like the hard yards, because, you know, you're still in the same fields, you know, trying to fulfill the same fields. But God is faithful. So if he calls you to stay, that is fine. So God is faithful. The rest will come. And he said he's never going to let me down, because sometimes by being the faithful and by staying, sometimes it can feel like that God's not hearing me, that God's not hearing the cries of my heart. And as you can probably tell, this was the first time I cried at conference. And I tell you what, it was definitely a cry fest as we continued to sing some of the old school songs that I really were anthems back in my day that I stood upon and really declared. And it was by no chance that they just happened to be singing those, because God knew exactly what my heart and my soul needed that night. And so, you know, for me, it was about understanding that He's never going to let me down, and I know that He's not, but sometimes we need that revelation back from Him, and sometimes in those moments that we forget that it's about Him doing the miraculous and the, you know, applying His little bit to our end work, everything else is going to come. And so He just reminded me again that, you know, we just need to stand in expectation, stand in His presence on our tiptoes, in expectation of what we see is what to come. You know, it might not be what it looks like now, but it is what's to come. Jensen went on to say, when standing on your tiptoes in expectation, sometimes we have to put a voice to our expectation. He shared a story, an American story, about a college football team, and it says it was on a balmy October afternoon in 1982. Badger Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin was packed with more than 60,000 diehard university fans of the Wisconsin Badgers. The football team to take on the Michigan State Spartans. It soon became apparent that the Spartans were going to trounce the Badgers, basically. You know, realistically, it wasn't looking pretty. What seemed odd, however, is as the score became more lopsided, there were bursts of applause and shouts of joy from the Wisconsin's fans in the stands. So when you think about that, you know, how many people scream and yell when your side's doing really, really, you know, rubbish at anything? If you're like me, I'm right into my sports, I get frustrated and I might yell some things, but they're not very encouraging. You know, like, you're just like, really? Like, come on, you know, kind of thing. It's just, but these guys were like shouting of joy, you know. If I was anybody, I'd be looking around going, what are these guys on, you know, kind of thing. What are they on? But they were shouting for joy. How could they cheer when their team was losing? He went on to say, it turned out that 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the 1982 World Series. Many of the fans in the stands were listening to portable radios. They had their little portable radios up to their ears and responding to something other than the immediate circumstance. Paul encourages us to fix our eyes on not what we have seen, but what yet is unseen. He says, so we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So when we do, we can rejoice even in the hardships, because we see Christ's larger victory. I love that story because it reiterates what the Bible says and what God says to us. It's not necessarily about what we can see in the earthly, it's about what we can see in the spiritual. And if we've got, you know, if we've got our, I think Jensen even did it, but if we've got our radio, really, this in the story, our radio, the Bible, everything that we need for Him to talk with us and to encourage us in that, if we have that up to our ear, we'll always be cheering with shouts of joy. We'll always be cheering about the things that are yet to come because of the things that are not yet seen, because we'll see the victory. So that's just some of what God has been dealing with and speaking to me about, but I thought it was so timely and so crucial to, as I said, not only to our church, but I think to each and individual. Doesn't matter where you are in your journey or where you're up to, it's a good reminder to always remember that God's hand is really what's needed to make the seemingly, yes, this is great, into the miraculous. And so God calls us forth to listen to Him, to listen to our radio, and to call forth from Him. And in these new times that we're entering into, you know, there'll be new fields. There will be, you know, there's been such a, at different conferences that I've been to this year, there's been such a, even just different people I've spoken to, there's been such a focus on the fields and the fields that we are called to, and the fact that the harvest is waiting. But if we're not in the fields, then we're not in the right position to be able to do what God calls us to do when He calls us to do it. And so as I thought about that, I thought it's about positioning ourselves. It's about hearing from God. And whatever He said, like at conference, in that night, the next day I also was a blubbering mess because Bobby Houston spoke amazingly about being in the fields and how the field, there's people like right across the earth that are crying out to the church. And I was, as I said, I was seeking God about things at conference, and he just broke my heart just because I heard the cries of the earth again. You know, it happened to me in the Philippines years ago, hearing the cries of the hurting, and God just said, you know, like, wherever you are, there are people crying out. The earth is crying out for him. And after I was a blubbering mess and threw out worship again and that sort of thing, I turned to Mick and go, God didn't get my memo that my crying days were done. And Mick just laughed, and because he's been to enough conferences with me and knows that when God's at work, you know, like, there's just things that happen. But it's about being planted in the right field, seeing and hearing from him, and seeing with those spiritual eyes, and being on our tiptoes in expectation. Because if you remember as a kid, if you're really excited about something, you're up on those tiptoes, you know. Like, we have Chris over, and if he can't see what you're doing, and he's up on his tiptoes trying to get that better look. And it's because of that eagerness and that excitement, because he knows that whatever's up there's got to be good. And so it's the same for us. We need to get on our tiptoes and in expectation, and be excited for what God's got, because what God's got is good. You know, he never gives you anything dumb or stupid or, you know, like, unusable, really. He only gives us what is good, because he's a loving father, and he gives us exactly what we need at the time we need. So as the team comes up, we're just going to finish today. Just take a little bit more time. Sorry, guys. But just take a little bit of time just being in God's presence and really declaring some things this morning. But one of the passages which I'd highlighted in my Bible for the first verse, but I re-highlighted the rest at conference, because I really felt even more so that, yes, it's for such a time as this for us, but that it's also about it, like, for our church. But it's also the days that we're living in, and it's Acts 2 verses 17 to 21. And again, anybody who knows this passage will know what I'm going to read. But it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And that's where I'd always stopped it, because I love that section. I'm like, you know, in the last days and in the days to come, you know, they will do it. But it goes on to say, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love that passage, because it kind of really exemplifies what he is about us. He will pour out his spirit. It's about each and every generation. He doesn't just talk about the young ones. He doesn't talk about the old ones. He talks about us all and how we've all got our part to play in the last days. He will do the pouring out of his spirits. But the sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. The old men will dream dreams. So those of us that are thinking that we might be coming to our end of times in whatever aspect of that, you know, here's the challenge. The old men, or if you're a woman, the old woman, will dream dreams. So just because you might think you get into the old, it's not done. You know, they're the ones that are dreaming the dreams. The young ones are seeing the visions, but they're seeing the dreams. He will pour out his spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire. And it goes on in those darker times. But at the end of the day, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that today, Lord God, that we just hear afresh from you, that we just know that everything starts and everything ends in you, and that everything is just good. And Lord God, this morning, we just hear from you, and we just stand on our tippy toes in expectation for whatever is to come. We stand on our tippy toes in expectation for our futures, Lord God. We just thank you for each and every one of our futures. But Lord God, we thank you for the future of this church as well, Lord God. We just stand on our tiptoes in expectation for what is yet to come. Lord God, we know that the best days of your work are yet to come. We thank you for what's been, but Lord God, we look forward to what's come. We pray for the young men, for the young men and for the old men, Lord God, for the young men and women that will just come in and you'll pour your Holy Spirit on, Lord God. We just commit ourselves afresh to you, and we just say, Lord God, that we have our radios, and Lord God, we just pray. pray that our ears will be open, Lord God, that we'll forever see with eyes that have eternal purpose, Lord God, in the spiritual, that we'll forever just see things how you see them, Lord God, that we won't be discouraged by what the world sees things as, Lord God, that we'll always see the beautiful things in everything, Lord God. We just pray and we just submit ourselves to you afresh again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.